Chapter 33. Miss Donaldson explained what she needed, the locations of as many brothels in Chinatown as I could get Mr. Han to reveal. When I had a list, I would deliver the address to the mission myself, or pass them to Neil a few at a time. He knew how to reach her, she said. I gave her Mr. Lowe's address. You are doing something good, Jade Moon, she said, patting my shoulder. I walked back into the street, too lost in my own worries to see who stepped from the alley. How did you know about this place? A sharp voice said. Harry! I moved to embrace him, but then stopped, putting my hands behind my back. I'm so glad you are safe. I was worried when you still weren't home this morning, I said in an extra low voice, one that I hoped would cover my concern. That doesn't explain why you are here. What? The mission. How did you know where it was? Of course, the mission. Already, I was destroying Miss Donaldson's plan. I saw that woman take you inside, he said. Of course you saw me go inside, my mind raced for an explanation. Why were you there? Heat dug deep into my cheeks. What are you accusing me of? My breath was shallow and rushed. Did you bring the girl here? Help her escape? Is she in there? His voice grew louder with each word. How would I bring her here? I was with you when she was arrested. Then what were you doing there today? I had to think. What would he want me to do? And there was Sterling Promise in the background of my head again. I checked to see if she was here. I thought I could sneak her out. The edges of his words softened. Was she there? I would have her with me if she was. The weight of the lies I had told and the ones I would tell returned. Harry's shoulders slumped and his head dropped. My heart steadied its rhythm, and my fingers relaxed by my sides. That was a good idea, he said. No wonder my father is so impressed with you. Isn't that why you're here? No, I saw you a couple blocks away and I followed you. We fell into a step next to each other. Where are you staying? I asked. There are plenty of places for an outcast like me, he looked down the street. The easiest thing to find in Chinatown is a place to hide. We wove our way through another set of alleyways. Harry dug his hands deep into his pockets. You are going to keep looking for her, aren't you? Your father thinks Ratface and his Sun Sui Ying boys took her, I said. Someone took her, but I don't think it was Ratface. Then who? I said. Someone who sells girls, Harry said. It is getting impossible to get girls off Angel Island. An idea formed. So you think a brothel owner bribed the police to pretend to arrest her and then bring her to his brothel? I said. Do you know where the brothels are? Harry nodded. My father knows every brothel in Chinatown. He wants to expand the Tong's reach beyond gambling. There is a lot of money for someone who can supply girls. He wanted me to direct that part of the business with your protection. My throat tightened. So that was his plan for me. If you gave me the addresses of people like Lo, people who might be interested in purchasing a slave girl, I could go to them and look for this girl, I said. Or I could turn around, hand the addresses to Miss Donaldson, undo these wrappings, and never see Mr. Han again. Are there a lot of people who might have her? Harry shook his head. Bribing a policeman would cost a lot. So, we checked the brothels. Just give me the addresses, I said. I had forgotten the warmth hope brought with it. Harry thought for a minute. I want to help. The hope collapsed. I don't think that is a good idea. Maybe you should stay out of your father's way. You don't think I can do this, he said. His words stretched tight. It's not that. I'm not you. I can't blur the disappointment in people's eyes. It hurts to see it every time my father looks at me. He turned to face me, blocking my path. I have to do something. Harry, these men are your father's friends and business partners. Do you think he wants you confronting them about a missing girl? Does he even want anyone to know about the girl? Harry crossed his arms. I will take care of it. We can tell your father you found her, I said. I don't need you to protect me, he shouted. That's not it, I shouted back. He poked his finger into my chest. It pressed against the bindings, which sent me back a step. When you look at me, you see the same thing my father sees. I know father is grooming you to chaperone me. Harry, I don't need a nursemaid. I need a friend. The word friend broke me. I knew how deep that need buried itself. What would be the harm in Harry looking for the girl? His father might appreciate that he had tried. It might heal some of the damage I had done. Fine, I said. Relief spread across his face. I need your help anyway. You know every corner of Chinatown. Harry nodded. It won't be easy. They sometimes sell girls as quickly as they buy them. We'll figure something out, I said. He fell in step beside me again. Thank you. I know you don't have to help me. You didn't lose the girl. Most men would be trying to carve out their own place rather than helping to save mine. Maybe I don't want your place, I said. Maybe that's why I trust you. That sent a sharp pain right into my heart, which I had started to forget I had. We walked along Stockton, one of the main streets. Lantern shops with giant red paper globes hanging from their awnings sat next to stores selling baseballs and bats from the American game Neil had tried to explain to me one morning. Vegetable men, with baskets balanced on long poles resting across their shoulders, twisted through clusters of children. Boys leaned against bicycles. English books from the American school they went to during the day, stuffed next to papers from the Chinese school they attended at night. You could see the people of Chinatown sweeping the criminal tongs into the corners, like a wife claiming a wider and wider piece of the floor with her broom. Did Harry not see it, or is that another reason he avoided the streets? While we walked, we planned. "I can go into the brothels and cause distractions while you search for her," I offered. "I don't know if I can get away with asking something so direct," Harry said. A woman came out of the drugstore as we were passing. I pulled him back so he would not crash into her. She glared over her shoulder at both of us. "Let's turn here," Harry said. We veered onto another street and then into one of the alleys he was so fond of. "So we have to look around without seeming to look around." I thought for a moment. "Neil said that you have to add up your strengths and weaknesses before you start fighting. We have your knowledge of Chinatown. Your skill and talent for fighting." He leaned against one of the flat brick walls looming over us. "What we don't have is time, especially if you think she might be sold again. We should start now. And we don't have a reason to go to these places," Harry said. "How many places might it be?" I asked. "A dozen, maybe more." "You said your father was having you study the business. Is that enough of a reason?" "The brothel owners are secretive, suspicious men. They feel attacked by the police, the community, even the tongs. They don't often want to talk about their businesses. So like you said, we need a reason to look around, a way to talk our way in." "You can talk to people. You convinced that laundry man to help us with the lottery," Harry said. "I convinced him it would make him money," I said. "That was easy because it was true. But when it comes to favors, people don't trust me. We need someone who could charm the venom from a snake." "You talked your way into the mission home," I shrugged. I didn't like the idea that he would be relying on my charm. "What about your friend, the one you traveled with, Sterling Promise?" "We don't need Sterling Promise," I said, stone settling in my stomach. "Why not? You said he is good at talking people into things. If you can't talk your way in, maybe he can. Is he here in Chinatown?" "He will want something in return." "What will he want?" Harry asked. "I don't know. He may not even tell us until it's too late." "I'm sure my father is offering a reward. We will make a clear bargain." "Sure, then he will force the tiger to take out his teeth and hand them to us." I shook my head. I did not want Sterling Promise involved for thousands of reasons I couldn't admit to Harry, much less myself. "He doesn't trust me. Then I'll make a deal with him. He will twist this to his own ends," I looked at Harry. "It is who he is. He can make whatever he wants from it as long as we get the girl back. I don't see any other way." "I punched him the last time I saw him," I tried. Harry raised an eyebrow. "And where was he the last time you saw him?" I opened my mouth, more protest lining up on my tongue, until I realized that Sterling Promise would want to work with me even less than I wanted to work with him. "He works for Mr. Lowe." "The man who was supposed to buy the girl?" Harry said. I nodded. "That is only two blocks from here. Go get him," Harry said, his eyes starting to burn with purpose. I hesitated. "You just have to introduce us. I will handle everything from there. I will wait at the noodle house," he said, pointing across the street. "Try not to punch him this time," he called after me.